Hi, this is Billy Sims. When I want to spice up my barbecue, I always listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions broadcast show.
Lions with it, second and goal from the eight, down six, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Case in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! That's it, pack the bag, start the plane. This game is over! How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast, post-game show, with your hosts, Chris and Case.
Hey, hi-de-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast live post-game show. This is episode 187, and it's the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Mike, the ambling bastard. Mike, how you doing, my man?
I'm all good, Chris, all things considered. Thank you very much. Good to be back.
Yeah, it is. It is good to be back. We're starting out with some funny graphics on the screen. We'll fix that really quick. But it was an interesting game. Didn't expect to win, and we didn't.
But let's be honest, there was a point at which you thought it might be possible.
It did look possible. And unfortunately, it was just not to be. And there's a lot to talk about out there. So we'll get into it. We'll take your calls, and we'll do a whole bunch of stuff on this one. So let's go ahead and get this thing moving.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements. First, check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
That's right. And of course, our very first donor, Mathis. Also, big shouts to Brian B. from I Prevail, big donor. Thank you so much, man. Your band rocks. iPrevailBand.com. Check them out. And check us out at patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Join the Patreon peeps. Get a chance to get into the Slack chat, which is some of the most intelligent Lions chat you'll find, because God knows we've got a world of unintelligent chat surrounding the Lions going on right now. So that's good if you join the donors. Also, we do a pre-show show, a nice little video ahead of the weekly podcast with Case and I, or Riz and I, whoever's doing it. And we put that out for our Patreon people. As little as $1 a month in donations gets you there. It is Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link and help us out, brothers. You know, this bandwidth ain't free. All right. Also, give us a like on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and on the Twitter machine, DET Lions Podcast. It's at DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see Mike
with no pants on.
That's the best way to see him. Subscribe to us on YouTube. You're watching us live, some of you right now, on YouTube. YouTube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. And rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you find us. We love those 5-star ratings. And if, again, you have constructive criticism, drop it into the subreddit. We love it there. And we can take action on that. We're going to see that, and we're going to do something. All right, let's go. Let's make this happen.
This is no time for a quick release. We're going deep.
All right. Yep, we're going deep. It's a quick release. Let's just start off. Jamiro Hatter with, I think, the best play of the game, the Taylor Decker touchdown. How awesome was that?
It's a rare treat to see a lineman, one of the heavy guys, take the ball over the line. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. It was really, really nice. And then the reaction from Crosby in the celebration was, I mean, if you haven't seen that, I recommend you go back and rewatch the game and watch that play specifically and check out Crosby's reaction, because holy crap, it is funny and fun at the same time. It was really, really, really good. So good news there. Also, some other consolation prizes today. The Bears lost, and Brandon's putting this up right now in the live chat, and the Packers lost.
Who's did, yep.
The division is still up for grabs, folks. So we got that going off. And also, let's see. LA, what a roster. What a game. What an opportunity for Jim Bob Cooter to see what real play calling looks like. I do have to give Cooter a little bit of credit there. For a short while, he was he was making some calls. He was, he got a little bit, I don't know, maybe it's desperate in his case, but he kind of a little less conservative. And he went out there and
started going and using Decker as a receiver.
Right.
I did wonder if it was, are we seeing desperation and possibly too little too late from Kuechly on that front?
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly the last, you know, the last play that we saw out of Caldwell was allowing Cooter to have Matthew Stafford catch a touchdown pass, right? I mean, it was just when his back's against the wall, he gets good. He, I don't want to say he gets good, but he gets to be decent or acceptable. And frankly, I just don't want the back against the wall in order for this team to perform. There's too much going on here.
yeah.
Don't you agree, Mike?
Yes, I do. We get into this position far too often. I think some weird stuff going on my laptop. Kuechly doesn't really. He's been bland and predictable and unimaginative, and then suddenly, when the season's already down the pan, and we're not playing for anything particular against the Rams, it does seem of desperation to me.
Yeah.
The fact that he's just starts. But the problem is, you take him out of his comfort zone, you put him in that desperation state where he knows he's on the hot seat. Actually, stuff starts almost working on the offense, where previously it wasn't. I mean, it was quite a disparity in the game between the first and second half. Why I saw it, and things seem to come alive.
Yeah.
After the half.
Yeah. So in the live chat, we're talking about Cooter making our team look so bad. Why isn't Patricia seeing this? He is. This is, I'm telling you guys, this is straight a result of Matthew Stafford making the call to keep Cooter in the offseason. We talked about this in the show a couple of times. I'm not going to go into it super deep again. The reality of the situation is that he couldn't fire him, or because he'd risk losing his franchise quarterback early. And the franchise quarterback is the most important person on the team. As a new coach in a new team, you have to win that locker room over. And that's why the fake media sports writer jackasses were talking about how he lost the locker room, making him run. Cooter is terrible. And the thing is, if you fire him now, who do you put in there? There's no one to really grab and put in there. I've seen people saying Patricia should take over the play calling. That's not, again, he's a rookie head coach. He is not skilled on that, and he needs somebody to do the offensive play calling for him. That's just, it's only going to get worse if you try to have Patricia do that right now. It's unfortunate. But there was one thing where Seth Riz said that Patricia's involved with the red zone offense. This was mine. I noticed this when I was at the game. Patricia isn't involved in the offenses at all. I think when you get down to the 2 minutes, you're going to see him. He's the one calling timeouts, but I'm not sure, cause I was watching the game at that part or at that point when we were, when I was analyzing, they're trying to analyze Patricia. The reality is he's not involved almost at all in that offense. He's not driving that. That's all Cooter's to run. And he's tanking the hell out of this team with his crappy conservative run up the middle on first down. Oh, Blunt's on the field. No surprise. It's absolute garbage, and it's unfortunate, but I feel the team is building for, you know, this is everything we've been doing is for next year. I didn't want to believe it when we traded Tate away, but I think that that's where we're at. This team is all about next year right now.
And given that, admittedly, if there are any prime candidates out there to take over from Kuechly, they're more likely to be available at the end of the season. Would there be any merit in giving someone a shot right now, Chris?
Someone internally?
Potentially.
No.
I can't offer you a name.
Godsey is probably the one guy that you'd give a shot at it, and he's just not. He's not the one. It's not going to get better. I just don't see it happen. So hey, we got a call coming in right now, real quick. Let's bring up the caller. Hey, John, how you doing, man?
Hey, Chris and Mike, how's it going, guys?
There you go.
It's, you know, it's bittersweet. I expected us to get completely Sue stomped in this game, and we didn't. So we got that going for us, which is nice. But it's the whole dashing of false hope, right? That's kind of where we're at.
Well, right, all right. So I called a few weeks ago. Well, let me say a couple things.
Sure, first, sure. Go ahead.
I finally joined the Patreon. Sorry it took me so long.
I saw that. Thanks, bro.
Like, what, 4 years now?
Yeah.
So I finally got on board. You guys have been doing such a great job, and I kept saying, I'm going to do that, and I never did it. And so when I bought some things through the link on Fanatics and stuff, so I haven't been supporting you, but finally jumped on the Patreon, and I'm excited to, you know, check out the Slack channel and stuff. So pretty excited about that. And I had called a few weeks ago, and one of the things that I had said was, you know, the start of the year, I expected us to need a lot of help on defense and to spend a lot of draft picks on defense. And then after the Carolina game, I was saying, maybe we need to look at some high draft picks more on offense. And this is after, look, we've drafted how many offensive linemen and a wide receiver and running back. And we spent a ton of picks on offense already. But I'm actually not feeling so bad after this Rams game, because I thought the defense, again, did a lot better than I expect them to against, you know, one of the best offenses in the NFL. So Patricia really seems to have kind of, you know, he kind of got his scheme. It took him a while. Obviously, we really were really bad at the beginning of the year, but he's got the guys that he wants. You know, adding Snacks is obviously huge for what he wants to do. And I mean, the defense looked really good that game. I was actually really excited watching them play. And I'm pretty sure I'm out of my fantasy playoffs now because of Goff and the Lions defense, but I'll take it because, you know, because it was fun to watch our defense play that well. And yeah, the 30 points doesn't look great. But remember, that was two failed onside kicks and a bad fumble from Stafford that got them to that 30. For the most part, they were holding the Rams to nothing for most of that game. So I actually walked away from that feeling a lot better about the defense. Just they've really been trending upwards. And that was what I wanted to see out of Patricia all year, was could he get, you know, that same kind of results as he kind of got New England, where the defense would be bad, but by the end of the year, they would be good. And I didn't know if that was Patricia or if that was Belichick or Patriots or what. And I kind of feel like it is Patricia, and that is a good sign to me.
Absolutely.
Obviously the whole Jim Bob Cooter thing is the bad side of that, where our offense is just not performed at all. So
no, and you nailed it, man. This is a game that we rightfully should have been blown out of. Right. And it's sad because there was that false hope. I'll give you guys a little inside baseball. At about halftime, I was talking to Mike. I'm like, Mike, I just don't have it in me to do this show. I mean, what are we going to do? We're just going to bitch about Jim Bob Cooter and his crappy play calls. And that's going to be, you know, that's going to be the whole show. And everybody knows that, right? It's not interesting. And, the thing, they came out in the third quarter and suddenly changed things up, and they were looking good. And the defense, you're right, absolutely right. Matt Patricia has a hold of that defense and is driving a lot of positivity from the team, is on the defensive side of the ball with a defense that maybe isn't the most skilled group of people. And you're right, adding Snacks was a big benefit and some other things, but they're outplaying their individual talent level, I'd say, especially against a team like one of the top offenses in the league, like the Rams, right? So that was great. But this constant same old crap from Cooter, think about it. If we had a competent offensive play caller, this team could really, really be in great shape, especially in the NFC North this year. And that's where the sadness happens.
I mean, if we hadn't gotten some of the injuries we got, yeah, we really should have beat the 49ers, and we really should have beat Dallas.
Yep.
Those are the two games that we probably should have won if our offense had been executing. And then we probably really should have beat the Bears last week. So that's three games that you put on offense like they should have won,
right?
All things considered. And if that's the case, you know, we're definitely in the mix for the division this year. It's kind of rough at this point to ask Jim Bob Cooter to do much with this offense. So he doesn't have anybody out there. Although watching him get Toilolo, like how many yards this game? Like, where was that all year?
Well, it was Spielman, and I can talk a little bit about Spielman. He's my favorite Lions player, one of my favorites, and he's been driving me nuts on with his.
He's a broadcast. Yeah. I agree completely. I love him, but like, when he calls the games, he's like almost anti-Lions at this point, which is so weird.
Oh, he's a meathead. He's like showing the long-term effects of CTE, it seems like sometimes.
Right? Yeah.
I'm not trying to be mean, but it is. It's just, but the one thing he said that really hit me is as a position, the tight ends had 250 yards on the season heading into this game, and the Rams had like over 1,000. And you just think about that and say, we knew the tight ends were going to be a rough position for us this year. We knew it wasn't going to be huge, but wow, that is bad. 250 yards at a offensive position that catches the ball. No good.
You point to it as one of the big reasons our offense has failed so much. Like letting Ebron go, which I still think was totally the right move, was, you know, you expected Luke Wilson or somebody to step up, and Roberts, and outside of a game or two here, that nobody really did. And then here you have a game out of Toilolo that we signed him to be a run blocker, right? Mm-hmm. So I really do put that on Jim Bob Cooter's inability to design an offense that can use the tight end effectively. Like Ebron is a physical specimen that just was like Matt Stafford's security blankie on third down, and he would just throw the ball at him to make a chain moving third down because he's going to be open because he's, you know, so fast and big, except when he drops the ball. So that was why we had such frustration there, was this pretty basic game plan of third and nobody open, throw it to Ebron. And if he drops it, we get mad at him. And if he catches it, it moves the chains. Right. That's not really scheming any kind of creativity like you see in other offenses. I'm rambling about that now, but point being, you saw him get a little more creative with sending a tight end down the seam. Why didn't he think of that at the start of the year? So I agree, Jim Bob Cooter's probably done. And it was interesting listening to you and Jeff talk about potential replacements this week. But I just wanted to call in to talk about the fact that even though the offense has left me in tears, I am optimistic about the defense for next year. And that was what I wanted to see out of these last few games. I want to see the defense continue to, you know, get the scheme down and then see who's worth having. And at this point, I'll leave you with that question again. Do we spend our picks on offense or defense? Because looks like we need a wide receiver. Looks like we need a tight end probably, but we still need a cornerback. We probably need someone to replace Ziggy. So I'll let you go, and I want to hear, what do you think? Now, since we've started to get into draft talk, what do you think we do? Thanks, guys.
Sure. Thanks a lot, John. Really appreciate it, man. That's awesome. Good call. So a couple of things. First, John, again, thanks a lot for joining the Patreon, people. That's really cool. I saw you come up today, and you'll have your Slack thing going. I haven't been able to automate that yet, so I have to manually do it. We'll do it after the show later today. On the draft picks, Mike, where's your head at as to, say, go 1, 2, 3, what positions you'd grab?
Oh, okay. I'm not going to do this in order, but I can give you three positions. Cornerback. I think we've seen Slay have a bad year this year compared to previously. For a CB1 to be performing at that level,
I think he's hurt a little bit.
You know what? I don't know if he is or not, but I kind of hope that if that's a possibility, that that is the case and he can come back from it, rather than he is actually just, excuse me, bona fide struggling at this point. You know?
Yeah. I'll tell you where I'm at. I think with no free agency action going on. Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to say wide out is a key position for us. Yep. I think we have to get a wide receiver. Yep. I think defensive end. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely is an important one. And it's a deep draft. It's Jeff Risden booty thick. I think he said it's.
Oh, my God. It is Sir Mix-a-Lot booty thick.
There it is. Sir Mix-a-Lot booty thick with defensive players, different front seven players. So I think I'll feel good about where we're going to get somebody there. And then I think the tight end position is another one. I don't want to get tight end before third round, though. Just you got to stay away from that. And it's not a sexy class for tight ends in the draft or in free agency. So that's ugly. Michael Hawley says that the Lions will pick up a wide receiver in free agency. We may pick up Golden Tate, but beyond that, I think we need two. So there we go. I think free agency is a great place to get one of those two. There's a couple of good guys out there, and we'll see how that goes. But the defense is definitely overperforming. I think we're going to see good growth there. The fear now is, we need an offensive coordinator, and next year, what are we going to? So we have a new offensive coordinator. Is this the narrative next year going to be? Well, you can't expect a first year offensive coordinator to do well. I freaking hope not. I really, really hope that that's not the situation.
Indeed, sticking with the defense, do you see Ziggy coming back next year.
Riz made a really good point. I didn't see him coming back at all. But Riz has kind of tickled the back of my brain on that with the idea that because he hasn't played so much and because he's had so many injuries, he may come in at a lower price. And that being the case, I might be down for some Ziggy at a good price. The problem is it's like with Ebron. It's exactly like him right now. If you let him go and he does well, oh, you're a jackass. If you keep him and he gets hurt again, oh, you're a jackass. Right? And these are things that you can't really predict. So what happens? With Ebron, you could predict he's not going to do well in Detroit, period. Right? So we know that. And I see Peter Von Panda out there saying, let's get Ebron. he's just killing me. He's just not going to do well in Detroit. So there's that. The mess that is Ziggy. It's another one, and it's one of those things that is going to be probably where the crowbar between the media and Coach Patricia lands. And I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that whole narrative. There's all kinds of things to look at and complain about with this team this year. And Patricia isn't it. He's running a hell of a defense right now. And special teams, that's something to talk about from today. No coach on special teams. And I heard someone say that the 11 or 10 men on the field instead of 11 on the field goal kick was Caldwell-esque. But Caldwell had a coach running special teams. We don't, so we'll see how that goes. All right, so let's check out a couple things, a little cleanup. We got to do housekeeping here. First, give us a call, 248-782-8384, 248-782-8384. You can call us and join the show that way. Also, we're getting ready to have our hot tub toaster party, and we've got a great new graphic on the page. You can check that out. How do you get your hot tub toaster? If you want to join the party, head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the Get Your Lions Gear thing, and it'll take you to Fanatics. And because you came from us, they'll say, oh, those guys are really, really cool, man. Let's give them a kickback. Great way to help the show by doing something you're going to do anyway. But hot tub toaster party time, baby. And we'll even, you know, we'll put some special effects here. We'll get the whole 1970s blinking action. All right, so there's that. Don't forget to get your gear. Like I said, helps us out a lot. Helps keep these things going. What else happened out there today? There was a chance at a win. It really felt like we could win. And boy, we started to put our foot in the gas in the third and then immediately got conservative again, didn't we?
We did. Yes. And we had a couple of really beautiful opportunities at an interception later on.
Oh, two.
Aquara and Harold.
Yep. Two great opportunities missed.
Which was unfortunate. Doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, they were no game plays for the Rams. So, you know, the defense was doing their job.
Right.
But it could have been so much more. Okay. As we see so often. And the other bit, it was Golladay's last gasp, denied touchdown with his foot going out of bounds at the very end. Mm-hmm. The movement from Stafford to get that pass off and the toughness with which he plays, it really baffles me how we get people hating on him quite as much as they do.
Interesting. So you're talking about the fumble, right?
No.
Go through that again. Sorry, I missed something.
So there was at least two plays where Stafford was pretty much being swamped because his protection collapsed.
Right.
And managed to get out and find some space and get a decent pass off. And am I wrong in saying that was the play that we saw Golladay getting nudged out of bounds, which could have been a touchdown?
Yeah,
not that it would have changed the balance of the game particularly, but nonetheless, it would be more points on the board for us. Salvaged a bit of something. My point was purely that, again, Stafford's getting a lot of stick. And yes, there was that fumble. Shouldn't really have been in the position where he was getting so badly hammered. So that's not all on him, in my view.
Yeah, no. The fumble, I've seen a lot of people blaming him for the fumble, and you can't. He was behind the cheesiest Swiss Army, Swiss cheese, Army, Swiss. I don't know what else happens in Switzerland. Chocolate. you can't put that fumble on Stafford. You just can't, unfortunately. I mean, not even unfortunately, but you just can't do it. It can't happen. Really quick, if you know the person who winds up with the Taylor Decker touchdown ball, he's looking for that. He'd like to add it to his collection. I was wondering when he threw it up in the stands, like, oh, that's wild. I would have held on to that if I was him. But in the moment, a little bit of celebration. So if you know who has it or find who has it, make sure to get in touch, Taylor. You can probably get him on the Twitter or whatever, Taylor Decker. And I'm sure you will get well taken care of, better than a ball that you really can't even prove was his. You'll be a lot happier if you can get that ball back, I'm sure. He'll make it worth your while. I don't want to write checks for that. He isn't going to cash, but they're saying in the post-game presser that the Decker play was instituted by Jim Bob this week. I don't know if they're just saying nice things to keep people off of Jim Bob's back. But
that sounds like me thinks they doth protest too much, yeah, perhaps.
In the live chat we're seeing Stafford's not been great, but the fumble's been inevitable. Was inevitable, yeah. And it's true. It's true. It is inevitable when you're running for your life and getting hit like that. It was it's just gonna happen. So there's nothing. Yeah. I mean, he turned, he ran. It came down on both of his arms. Right. It's impossible at that point to hold onto the ball. So nice try anyway, Mandy P. Or Manny Ice, sorry, Manny Fiji. All right, so let's talk about the division. We have a race for last place. Hearing that we lost the game today, the Packers lost, and we're right there. It could come down to the end of the season again. Last game of the season at Lambeau against the Packers. The fight for the basement of the NFC North. Who do you think? I mean, I don't know that the goalposts are going to make the trip to the frozen tundra of Lambeau, so we're not going to have our defensive player of the year. Looking ahead, I mean, who do you think is going to own this, Mike? Do you think we can hold on to the basement, or is this something that we're going to lose this to? Are we actually going to give the Packers a better draft pick than we get? Let's put it that way.
I said no.
That's a very Lion thing to do.
Yes. It is, but no, I don't think so. I right now, see, this is the problem with being a Lions fan. The consistency isn't there. Mm-hmm. You never know what's going to happen from one week to the next. We tend to win games that we shouldn't and lose games that we
should.
Should, thank you. Excuse me while I try and string a sentence together. That's what watching that bilge that Jim Bob Cooter puts out on the field does to your brain. It addles it. No, I think I'm having a hard time seeing us clambering off the bottom at the moment. I really am. I don't like looking at it like that. Ultimately, yeah, it might give us a better draft position. But I'm just struggling to see any consistency there that can give me the confidence in the team that they're going to be able to improve over the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Before we see it out.
There's a lot of talk about losing out for a better draft pick or win, right? And this is interesting because what I really want, actually more than probably the fifth, 10th draft pick, is more draft picks. I just don't think we have enough for the gaps we have in this team. So the mentality of and Jim in the chat saying, you know, you always win, playing for the draft pick is a loser mentality. But the one thing we can get with a better draft pick is possibly to trade down and get more draft picks, because that's really what we want. I'm going to hate. I have this sinking feeling that that Ty and the way the division's going to wind out is that Green Bay is going to be the draft spot before us and get a freaking superstar that we absolutely wanted. And that's going to haunt us for another 10 years. And then we're going to wind up with something, you know, good, but not great. Yeah. So we'll see.
No, but I agree with the point that deliberately tanking is, to my personal point of view, it's a disgraceful mentality, and we shouldn't be looking at that as an option.
Yeah.
Play to win. That's what these guys go out there for. That's what they're paid to do. They should go out and damn well try. And I can see the arguments for picking up better draft picks or more draft picks. Don't get me wrong, I understand that, but I don't think those guys would be able to hold their heads high on an individual level.
No.
If they were doing that deliberately, and I don't think we're going to see that from them either on an individual level or an organizational level.
Yep.
I don't think that's going to be a conscious goal. I think it's probably going to happen just by virtue of the fact that the offense can't put the points up on the board that they need to. And if we lose by virtue of being crap, that's one thing compared to losing by virtue of trying to or not putting the effort in to get the win, to look at it at a slightly different.
Yeah. I got a couple of things going on here. First, when you talk about pride on that field, Quandre Diggs, man, that guy is out there playing his heart out every freaking play. I got to tell you, he is one of my newer, more favorite players. Holy shit out there, man. He is putting it out 110%. I'm going to be in the market for a Diggs jersey. My man is out there, and I know that total jersey sales does get shared with the NFLPA. He doesn't get more money because he sells more jerseys. It gets split amongst all of them and all that. But I am going to go rep the Diggs because that guy has heart like not much that we're seeing on the field out there. That's just a great pick. Loving him out there, loving him. Chris Lewis brings in, trading down's a logical move, but if we can get an elite prospect at 4 or 5, we got to do it. And you're 100% right, Chris. We're in like this cone of uncertainty, but it's like the reverse cone, right? We're like way out here right now, and there's so many things that have yet to happen, free agency, all these things. So we don't know where we're at. You could be right. Absolutely. There could be an absolute just monster prospect out there that we have to take. And I'm 100% with you on that. And that's why you don't make the trade now. but there's the opportunity to get more picks. So we'll have to see how that all plays out, but you're not wrong at all, Chris. And neither am I. TJ's asking about Tease Tabor. Is he the worst pick by Quinn thus far? Yes. Absolutely yes. Absolutely yes.
Concise and to the point. I like it.
Yeah, I can talk a lot about that. So Joe B brings up the inevitable question, and we can start the conversation here. he's laughing. Should we pick up Kareem Hunt? And I'm gonna tell you, I'm not saying what he did was acceptable. Okay. I'm completely not partisan to any of the issues or even privy to the issues that have taken place. Okay. So just a thought experiment here. That's all I'm doing. So I've got to wave my hands a lot when I do this shit, because sometimes people get bunched up. Okay. Let's kind of look to the future a little bit with Kareem Hunt. He's young. He's a stud. Somebody's going to get him for cheap, right? He's going to play again. I don't care what you say. He's going to play again. Ray Rice, he was old, washed up, and they were already saying he was done. This is, and I'm stealing some thoughts from the Slack chat, but you guys nailed it on the Patreon Slack. He was done. That's why he didn't work out. Kareem Hunt will play in the NFL again. He's not a character issue kind of guy, supposedly, from what I've heard. He's a guy who's got whatever going on is going on. There's a situation. I look at the video, absolutely horrible. But you could say, I mean, you could make arguments all over the place. Bottom line is, you never hit a woman, right? Let's be real. You shouldn't hit people. Let's even just be more basic than that. So there's that. There's a redemption arc in the NFL. When somebody is that good at something, that has billions of dollars surrounding it, there is a redemption arc. And he will play in 2019 somewhere. Period. Now, who's going to sign him? Right now, it's hot topic, hot news, right? And nobody's going to sign him today because there's just way too much on it. 2 months from now, people forget. Things kind of simmer down a little bit. Things start to change a little, right? I think somebody signs him. I don't know who he is, but he will be signed. They pick him up. They have the whole, again, redemption arc. He's going to domestic violence training. He's going to donate a whole bunch of money to women's causes. He's going to do whatever and try to make himself better, look better, right? And at some point, people, if he plays well, people will forgive him. There will be a subset of people that will always, you know, it's the subset that's always there that are going to just use that against him absolutely forever. It's like I tweeted to Blandino this week during the Dallas game. Somebody had the "it was a catch" sign in the back over Dez, right? It's been years and they're still holding signs. Some people will not forget, period, and that's it. And he's always going to have to carry that with him. But he will play in the NFL again. Now, all that being said, he's in the NFL. He seems like a decent guy. Let's just say he is a decent guy and does all those things right and becomes an upstanding member of the community. Is that a guy that could be a Detroit Lion? I don't know. He's going to play somewhere, right? That's
it's inevitable.
Yes, that's not going to change. So if we can admit that that's the case, do you grab him?
That's a very good question. Do they? You're right. There is this redemption. You mentioned Ray Rice. Did we not see the same thing with Adrian Peterson as well?
Yeah. Yeah, and then he went out, he doubled down on it just recently.
Yeah. Of all the things you don't say.
I beat my kids. Yeah, I beat my kids. Damn straight. Wow.
So,
yeah.
But you look at these guys. So they both have had these big news stories, scandals that in other circumstances could be career enders. But they are that good, they will play. So, yes, it's inevitable Kareem Hunt will play again. Will he be a Detroit Lion? I don't think so, because the Lions organization has got this this reputation for going after high-character guys. Mm-hmm. And I don't
know. They also got a reputation for never being in the Super Bowl.
Well, there's that too, yeah.
Motown Cat says Martha would never go for it, and I think that's
true. that was going to be my point. All the while you've got Martha there at the top of the tree, that would be a huge no-no. It wouldn't happen.
But then again, I'm not taking a side here. You think about that redemption arc. Somebody like Martha willing to take a chance on a guy like this and bring him into the fold. It makes the story, right? And then you see a team like the Lions on the back of this redemption of I can see it. I can just see it. This is like the made-for-TV movie, right? On the redemption of Kareem Hunt and his becoming this new community superstar and community hero and doing great in the world. And wow, look at the redemption of the Lions coming forth and taking a chance, and they believe in each other. I don't know. And the other side of it is it's a Belichick move. Belichick took wide receiver, played for Minnesota forever. Oh God, why can't Randy Moss, who was a personality problem and some other problems throughout his career. And he played awesome and was absolutely 100% on point in his time there. So it's something that I could see a Patricia guy doing. If he's following kind of that mold of taking guys that have low hope and giving them a shot. Yeah, Josh Gordon over there now, right? So we'll see. We'll see. It's an interesting conversation. It's one I'm sure that's going to go for a while. And I see, you know, it just came up in the chat. So I figured, let's kick it off and start that conversation.
Definitely, yeah.
All right, yeah, we got Prater after he was run out of Denver, and that was crap. I mean, I absolutely love that we have Prater, but the way that he got run out of Denver was garbage.
That was before my time. I don't know that story.
It was on a drinking thing. They caught him at a barbecue in his backyard having a beer when he was supposed to be. It was a comedy of stupidity and no tolerance that came together that sent him to the Lions, basically. So,
okay.
Let's see. We got Psychedelic Monk. Hey, Chris. Okay. Great Friday show. Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to do another one with Riz this Friday coming up. So we'll go with that. And it was fun. I think we're going to keep pushing some of that, those topics there. Covered the draft as well as the offensive coordinator look. And I think that's like right in Rizden's wheelhouse. So that'd be helpful. Sorry, I stepped on your mic. I didn't mean that.
No, it's all good.
All right, so again, 248-782-8384 or 248-782-8384. Join us on the post-game show. We've got your toaster hanging on the graphic there just to join you for the hot tub post-toaster party. We've got Joel who's going to work with us to do something for that. I'm really excited about that, so stay tuned on that one. Also, I got to talk about, you know, it's the season for the reason to go... I don't know. I don't have anything that rhymes. Go shopping. And where do you do your shopping? Well, of course, you go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com before you go to Amazon. That's what Mike does. He heads over every time. I do it. Everybody does it. It doesn't work for me, unfortunately. But you go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, click on the Amazon link, and they know we sent you, and they give us a little kickback. You get all those gifts. It's a great way to give a little gift to the show that you're listening to. And you're gonna do that stuff anyway. So we'll go for it. Head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Use the Amazon link to buy all your gifts for yourself. And it's damn important to get a gift for yourself and all your friends and family. And it gives us a little gift on the side. Costs you nothing extra. Great way to help the show. All right, we got that one in. Let's keep rolling. What do you think about... I was thinking about this at the Thanksgiving game. How damn much money I spent on tickets to watch a team lose a game I knew they were going to lose. I had the hope that they wouldn't. But boy, oh boy, oh boy. A lot of money to see and a lot of effort. There's a lot of work that goes into getting down to the field, parking, getting in, doing the whole thing, getting out at the end, right? It's just a lot. Is it worth it right now with this product? I mean, there's a lot of people going. Sam, man, he's got a season tickets. You got people that are so far in now. Would you be going, Mike? Would you still be going down there?
That's a very hard question to answer. I like to think, yes, I would.
Okay.
Did you see the fellow on telly today who...
the fellow on telly, hello.
The fellow on telly who had more stubble than me, who was at one point raging and flapping his arms around,
yeah.
And then later on he was up and cheering, and that roller coaster, you only can get that actual atmosphere that guy is living in at the game.
Yeah.
That to me is probably worth the money.
Yeah, I need a driver. I need to be able to really just dive into the booze.
Into the $12 Bud Lights.
Yeah, that's what I need. Oh God. So yeah, no, that's interesting. My brother was at the Thanksgiving game with me, and he lives in Boston and grew up in Detroit. He's a Lions fan 100%. His daughter, who's grown up in Boston, is also a diehard Lions fan. So he's raising, I don't know, maybe he isn't raising her right. I don't know. I think he is. But so they have the option to go to Patriots games relatively frequently though. So they do. And he said one of the big differences, he said he can't believe, you know, even when the Patriots are sucking and doing terrible, the crowd is just ripping the other team. It doesn't matter who they are, what they are, they're just tearing them apart. In Detroit, he said the crowd is tearing apart their own team. Yeah. And that's an interesting ball of wax, isn't it?
Is that a product of the fact that the Patriots have had, shall we say, a relatively good amount of success in the last few years?
Likely.
So they can suck it up a bit more than the fans in Detroit can, because...
they've been sucking it up for 50 years.
Indeed, yeah. Is there a correlation there, do you think?
I'm certain. But this is part of that whole... It's the 9,000-piece puzzle we talked about on this week's podcast, right? There's so many pieces of the pie, and the crowd, the home crowd is part of it, right? And you've heard teams give it to the crowd for winning games and for delay game calls and stuff like that. They did it on the Thanksgiving game. A couple players turned around and were like giving the crowd the big ups and thanks and all that because we were loud as F and got a delay game paint claim penalty called on the Bears, and it was from being loud, right? So there's a lot to that, but it all feeds. Brandon has a good one. The Vikings is the only home game left. That's crazy.
Wow.
There's a lot of games left in the season. There's only one home game left. So grind out the end. CJ, love it. Who's pumped for hashtag Battle of the Bottom on the 30th of December? Maybe it should be, instead of Battle of the Bottom, maybe Battle for the Bottom, though. Maybe that should be the hashtag. We should probably get that one started, Battle for the Bottom. A lot of Sioux chants. That was good. Jim Young, longtime friend of the show. He's going to be at the Minnesota game. Jim. He's the first winner that we had on one of our giveaways. We got to get a giveaway going. We got to make some people happy here. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the argument to spend a third round pick on a running back? Likely new offensive coordinator with a couple dynamic weapons in the backfield. Kenny G, Jones, and Stafford sounds too good. This is going to be an unpopular opinion, but it's just an instant reaction without much thought. I'd rather pick up Hunt and put him in the backfield and spend a little bit of money in free agency that way, quote unquote free agency, than try to draft another one. Nope. Mike Holly's saying the exact same thing as I said that in the chat. Yeah, that's kind of where I'd rather go. I think we need, this offensive coordinator thing is going to be huge. This is really going to set the tone for where we go from here, boy. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, so you and Mike are spirit animals.
Going back to the OC situation, at what point do you think we're going to see Detroit cut ties with Jim Bob Cooter and look to replacing him? When's that going to happen, do you think?
If we wouldn't have had the third quarter we had today, I would have said Monday. I really would have thought that it would have happened this week. The problem is getting rid of him doesn't gain you anything. It actually loses you. I just think it's going to be after the season is when he's gone, and we're going to have to suck it up. And all these games, these away games especially, it's going to be a lot of hard football to eat for the rest of this year. It really, really is. And I don't know how to sugarcoat it. I don't know how to make it fun. And it's going to be a little bit of a job. And I think, we talked about it again. It's about the stolen expectations that makes it so difficult. You know, we really, really are in trouble in our hearts because we thought we were going to be better. This hurts more than the 0-16 season for me. And I don't even, it seems crazy. Brandon, great point. We need Lang's replacement. We need a replacement for
KJ Lang. That is a good point. What happened
Michael says we should fire. What happened to what? I'm sorry.
Wagner. What happened to him? I saw him picking himself up and looking like he'd taken a whack to the head or something, but I didn't actually see what happened on the play.
I didn't see that. He learned a lot today, though. That was said in the live chat earlier. I'm sorry, I can't give credit because I can't scroll back that far. But someone brought up that Ragnow got some great school today on the show in the game. So God, man, I'm JBC'd. My brain is all addled from the JBC. That's a tough one. I like Michael Hawley. It's not a classy move, but I don't need a classy move. Fire Jim Bob Cooter in the press conference right after the last game. do it while he's in Green Bay. Make him walk the fuck home. See if he can coordinate that. In years in TJ Jones, and he's not there. It's some guy named Ellington is so much better. Yeah, Ellington was supposed to be a lot better talent in the NFL than he turned out to be. So there's a little bit of something there. But Kevin, the reason we spent all these years in TJ Jones is that we haven't been able to develop players. We haven't had a staff that's been able to do that. That was a real problem under Caldwell and before that. We just can't make... We can't develop our players. Michael, again, his name is Cooter. How classy can we be when we fire him anyway? Maybe I'm just that. Maybe I don't know. Oh, God, this is great. This is great, guys. All right.
I've got another question for you then, Chris. Sure. You just touched on the readability of Caldwell et al. To develop players? Is that because for a good portion of the Caldwell era, we had Calvin Johnson, and the magic that existed between Stafford and Johnson was such that you could have less developed players around them, and it all meshed together as a whole. So the need and the drive to develop wasn't as apparent as it is now. We don't have that. Oh, I hesitate to say we don't have that star quality because we've got Golladay, and I think he's very, very good for us. But did you get where I'm going with that?
Yeah, see, I think...
Is it something that we've let slip that we haven't done as an organization for one reason or another?
Yeah, there's a couple things, and I want to just say the TJ celebration, or TD celebration by Crosby was great. So the problem with the developmental thing is it takes time to develop players, and you don't know if they're doing it well until time passes. And if you look at Caldwell, he had, 4 years with us? You're hitting year three, you're starting to say, hey, wait, was this a bad draft pick, or did we not develop him? Well, let's start looking at the trends. How many players we draft? How have players moved, right? It just takes – you need to invest time, and you have to wait for time to pass to see how that development is happening. And I think it can happen faster, but I think we've never been in, or at least not never, but we haven't with Jim Schwartz and Jim Caldwell. I think between those two coaches, we've just not been in a position to see what player development really looks like. So I think if you look at Jared Davis as a good example, how he's changed from even preseason this year till now, he's a much better player than he started out the season as, and it's part of scheming around him, and it's part of using him appropriately, but it's part of his growth and developing him as well. I think we'll see some player development coming out of this coaching staff. They just know, because you've got a GM and you have a coach who have been around it and who have done it and understand it. You've never seen Caldwell do anything but destroy running backs. You haven't seen him develop players. He rode Peyton Manning forever, right? He wasn't the guy. And we didn't have the staff to put the guy out there. So anyway, that's my take on it. We'll see where things end up. This Minnesota defense is playing the Patriots pretty tough. But we'll see. All right, sorry. Let's see. Yeah, look at what Patricia's done with Harold and Kennard. There's two guys that have bumped up. So I think he's good. All right, we'll throw out the phone number one more time here. 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384. Put that out there, and you guys get a chance to give us a call here before we kind of wrap it up a little bit. One thing, though, and just straight up from how we look at the team, and how the play calling's going, I just want to give you guys a reminder. I just don't get Cooter. All right, so let's see. 9-7 comment by Quinn. This is one that's interesting. Brandon brings up a good point in saying that he believes that Quinn meant Caldwell's average over time. Hey, look, he's a 9-7 coach. 9-7 isn't good enough. We want better, right? What I think people saw was we're going to be better than 9-7 this year. You know what I mean? And that's interesting, Brandon. It's an interesting take. That's my reaction right now. I'll look into it and think about it. But that makes especially if it's in the hey, we're hiring Matt Patricia conference. That makes sense, right? Let's say 9-7 wasn't good enough. This is where we're going. So, interesting stuff from Kevin. Case's point, Super Bowl winning coaches don't have winning seasons in the first year. How many of those Super Bowl winning coaches took over winning teams and led them to 5 wins? That's an interesting question. Peter Von Pando on the 9-7 thing. Quinn may have been angling for a 25-game season. So, all right. Mike, any final thoughts on the game now or the upcoming game against the Cardinals in sunny Phoenix?
Okay, so for the game tonight, we were expecting to lose it, and we did lose it. It wasn't the out-and-out thrashing that it could have been. largely thanks to the defense, in summary.
Yeah.
There were some good spots. There were quite a lot of bad spots. I think it, with the exception possibly of the scoreline, it pretty much met expectations. Is that fair?
Ah, we've lost your audio, Mike.
No. Can you hear me now?
No, you're back. Yep.
Yeah, so I don't know which point I cut out at, but I was just saying I think the game, excuse me, what we saw tonight pretty much met expectations. Was that? Do you think that's a fair summary, that was about what we would have expected out of a Lions-Rams encounter at this stage of the season with the current records that both teams have got?
Interesting. No, I think the Lions outplayed what my expectations were. I expected a massive Sue stomp on this team. And
that being mainly down to the defense stepping up, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. The defensive scheme for this game would have had probably any other offense in the league a win.
Yeah, no, that's the point I was getting at in terms of we could have expected the scoreline to show a much greater thrashing than we got.
Yep.
And, you know, still lost, but maybe not as badly as we might have expected to. Next week.
Oh, my God, I just had a massive revelation, dude. Holy shit. All right, so sorry, I gotta get this. So Hattori in the live chat says he doesn't actually take ticket to the game in Phoenix. No one wants it. Not Cardinals fans, not Lions fans. And I'm thinking here in Tampa, they're dying to give away tickets to Bucks games because they're so terrible, right? Nobody even wants to go. And the upper bowl is always empty on that. Let's take that. Okay, now there's one data point. Data point number two, there's only one home game left in this season. When the Lions are thinking about selling tickets, right? You know you got Thanksgiving sales. The Rams, probably a good ticket. You think about trading Tate, what you're really playing for, what you're doing with this team for the rest of the season. You don't expect to win. You're just trying stuff out, right? What if this is a case of they're not worried about not selling out because they don't have games not to sell tickets for. They don't have games for fans to wear paper bags on their heads, right? There's only that one game left. What if, I don't want to say they're tanking, right? Because I don't think they're tanking, but what an interesting point. They got nothing to lose because they don't have the home games.
So treat this as a period of experimentation is what you're saying.
Experimentation, experimentation, evolution, putting different things in place, just knowing that the wins don't matter at this point. And you've got the, what did CJ have done? I got to see if I can find him again. Oh, there it was. Battle for the bottom. Hashtag battle for the bottom. That's the big one, right? But not worried about the end result so much because they don't really have skin in the game when it comes to money, because the ultimate in shared resources, jersey sales, all that stuff isn't go by team by team basis. It goes across, it's spread across the NFL. So if their jersey sales go down, or their toaster sales go up, whatever, it doesn't affect them directly. Wow. Okay. Look, it hit me just now. It deserves some more thought and teasing out as far as what does it mean and so on. But wow, that's an interesting. I just interested myself with something that happened in my head, Mike. How about that, huh?
That's amazing. That's a first. You should explore that in the midweek show.
Yeah, I think I might. All right, on that bombshell, we're going to call this a show. Thank you all for joining us live. We appreciate you guys being on the show. Remember, we're looking for your involvement. Watch the live show. Follow us on the YouTuber and subscribe to the show. Also, get us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. We're also on the Twitter machine, DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast. Very best place to see Mike, Jeff, Case, me, really anyone.
With my pants on.
Sorry. I left you with a flat give there. Sorry about that. Just call me Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word. That's the account name, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us in the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Also, be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so we can come in your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
This guy needs a and I'm going to find him and just give him a big